You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Your Ultimate Life today. Your Ultimate Life. This show, you know, I conceived this and I'm bringing it to you for only one reason. Not to hear my head rattle, and not because I like looking at my face or hearing my voice, but because I've been on a journey, and the journey has allowed me to create purpose for my life, prosperity beyond anything I thought I could have, and amazing joy. Purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now, those are the words I use to define your ultimate life. Now, this picture behind me, if you're watching the video, is a crazy sky. Really, what it is just a Photoshop effect that I took of some palm trees. And that's a real picture. It was outside the house where Joy and I lived in Phoenix for a number of years. And I took a whole bunch of pictures there because we were there a lot of years and I'd made some crazy stuff with them. The reason I use that picture today is I want to talk a little bit about magic, alchemy. Alchemy is sort of the precursor of chemistry. In the Middle Ages and later, it was the idea that an alchemist was a little bit magic. And the magic was used to transmute, and that was the word, transmute lead into gold or base metals into something valuable. So I use the word alchemist in my coaching. I use it in the work that I do. In my own personal declarations, I think of myself and declare that I am the alchemist of love, life, purpose, prosperity, and power. What does that mean? Well, it sounds like a bunch of words. Well, it is, but words are so interesting. I saw a TED Talk earlier today, and it was a Toastmasters competition, not TED. But anyway, it was a really good talk, and the person was talking about the meaning, not the meaning, but the power of words. And he gave several examples, and because it was a, you know, national competition or something, the speaker was very, very, very capable, very advanced, very good, and, you know, powerful storytelling. And I love that kind of thing. That's something I love doing and participating. And I teach that also. And I've also been a client of a person who has spoken in, I think, 170 countries and is a master at storytelling. So I've done a lot of work with that. But here's the thing. There is magic in words. I want you to think about that. Now, there's phrases we have. The pen is mightier than the sword. We have phrases like that that give an idea that writing, words, are more powerful than force. And that doesn't mean if someone shoots you in the head with a gun that it's worse if they say a word at you. But the collective power of words is more overall powerful than anything else. And I want you to think about this in both a sad way and a powerful way. And a sad way is we have political doctrines, capitalism and Marxism and socialism and, you know, all those kinds of words. We have religious words and different denominations. And, you know, the words contained in the documents of those systems move people to madness, move people to glorious and powerful things. Move them to war, move them to cruelty, move them to kindness. And it's all in the words, the ideas behind the words. So today I want to talk about something I call a North Star. So today, the name of today is North Star, North Star. Now, in Canada, which is where I am now, the saying, sort of the phrase of the Canadian nation is the true North, strong and free. Now, Canada is way in the north. In fact, the northern parts of Canada, up in the Northwest Territories and Nunavut and Yukon, it, you know, goes clear up past the Arctic Circle and up into the real frozen part. Now, here we're in Edmonton. We're below the Arctic Circle, and we're not that cold. It's cold, but not that cold. But anyway, so we're way north. And the true north, strong and free, speaks to my heart. It speaks to principles. It speaks to ideas and things that are the kind that we just talked about. They're powerful. They move people to action. They keep people strong and help them do things that they otherwise wouldn't have the courage to do. So today we're talking about, and I told you this program's committed to helping you create purpose, prosperity, and joy. And now every time I say that, I want you to substitute your words, whatever they are that really represent the life you'd like to have. Now, some people I talk to, they'd say, yeah, that would be cash, cash, and cash. Well, that's fine. Money is right up there next to oxygen. There's no question about that in terms of things we need. But it is also right up there next to strychnine in poison. If we don't understand it, if we don't know how to use it, and if we get indoctrinated into the religion of money. So there's an example, words. When you get stuck, or me, any of us get stuck in the idea that money is the answer and the be-all, end-all of everything, you're poison and you're doomed, period. And I'll say that boldly, and you can get mad and say whatever you want, but all you have to do is look around in the world over and over and over again. When we get caught up in the religion of money, and I'll talk about what that is in a minute, we don't turn into very nice people. We do dumb things. We do awful things. The religion of money is the idea that, one, it is more important than anything else, and two, it's the most important to have more than somebody else, right? If I have some, doesn't matter. I just need more than the next person. Well, that's the religion of money, and I belonged to that church for a while, and it poisoned me. I don't belong to it anymore, and I make good money. But the point isn't to buy stuff and to show off and to have, I couldn't care less about any of that anymore. It didn't used to be true, but it sure is true now. Instead, what I'm doing, I'm engaged in conversations with not two, but three people right now about ways to use money to create real good in the world, real change in leadership, change in the way we understand each other, forgiveness, tolerance, love, kindness. All those squishy words that seem to not amount to much, right? But they're the most important because ultimately they're the words that last. They're the principles that last. They're the foundations that we can grow on because greed, hatred, having more, you know, taking away from others, cruelty, oppression, those don't last. Eventually they're overthrown every single time. Today, I want to talk about your North Star. Now, I know you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Hundreds of years ago, when people were sailing the seas, you know, in the days of Columbus and Magellan and the Spanish explorers and the Portuguese explorers and the English Armada and all the rest, we navigated by the stars. And, you know, everybody knew their constellations and all that stuff. And in the northern sky, it is the North Star, and in the southern sky, it is Polaris, which is the Southern Cross. The North Star is really easy. The Southern Cross is harder. There's some calculations you have to do and a line you have to draw. But if you draw a line through the Southern Cross, it shows you right where the South Pole is. Why does it matter where the South Pole is or the North Pole? I'm just going to talk about North Star right now, but there's an analogous situation in the South. It matters because Polaris, the North Star, is right over the North Pole, right? It's right over the North Pole of the Earth, so it doesn't move. As the Earth rotates and all the constellations change in the sky, the North Star is always over the North Pole, so it never feels like it moves. That meant for people sailing ships, it was always a constant reference. It always showed you where North was. So you say, okay, that's north, you know, and you knew where south, east, west, and you always knew which way you needed to go. Now, when you had other stars and you added, you know, knowledge of constellations and all of the rest and the time it was, a day and night, seasons and the tilt of the earth, you could use those for more precise navigation. But the North Star was the key. Without that, you couldn't do anything. With it, you knew exactly where you were going. And it was always dependable, never varied. So if you think about a North Star for your life, do you believe that's even possible? Is there such a thing as a true North? I want you to consider that, and I want you to answer it for you, because what I think doesn't matter for you, and what you think doesn't matter for me either. Do you have any North Stars? Do you have anything in your life, principles, ideas that are fixed and firm? See, one of the words I learned in high school, I think, was where I first heard about it, was the word. It's not a single word, but two words. Situational ethics. Situational ethics, right? And that is as squirmy as it sounds. It means that the ethical act in a given situation changes, depends. So that means the answer to any time to what should I do is, well, it depends. Now, there are lots of times when it does depend. It depends on who's involved, what's at stake, what's happened already, and a bunch of other things. But I for one, want to go on record, you know, pounding my fist on the table and talking about a real North Star. There is such a thing as a true North. Now, some of you that are old enough will remember Stephen Covey and the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the most popular business books of all time, used in countless seminars and business learnings and just countless numbers of things. And it talked about the seven habits that people that are really effective, got a lot done, good leaders, powerful, you know, those kinds of respected people, seven habits that he noticed. Now, he was an organizational psychologist, I think, and he studied organizational behavior. And he wrote several books, but one of them, his most famous and enduring book, is Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And he did this by studying tons of effective people, people that got a lot done, that were well-respected, that were essentially powerful, meaning they commanded a lot of respect and created results. And he examined their behaviors and their attitudes and what did they do. And he found some very common similarities. Now, this isn't a class in seven habits, but if you haven't read that book, even though it was 50 years ago, it's, I think, 50, maybe a little more, 20, so yeah, maybe 50 years ago in the 70s, it's worth reading. The principles are true, they last, they matter, and they're worth it. So put it in your library and read it. I challenge you. Request, if I could direct you to, I would, because there are things in there that are so important. It is from that work that those four quadrants of urgent and important and a bunch of other powerful leadership and business principles came. Anyway, read Seven Habits. But that isn't what I want to talk about it. When and Covey used to go teach seminars to many businesses all over the world about the seven habits and how they could be integrated to create more powerful, more successful organizations, increase cash, increase bottom line, increase employee satisfaction, lower turnover, and do all the good stuff you want in business. And in, there was a story that I read about that. In one place, he was teaching about this. And I don't know the setup of the seminar. I took some seminars on it, but none of them were taught by Stephen Covey. But anyway, there was a time when someone challenged him. And At the end of the, it was a more than multi-day seminar. At the end of the one of the days, a person came up to him and said to him, there's no such thing as a true north. Meaning this person was arguing for situational ethics. The answer to everything is it depends. And rather than argue with him, Covey said a few things to him and tell him to really think about it and consider in his own life and in his own heart what he thought. And the person went home and did that, and he came back. And it was never revealed in the story what happened to him that night, but something in his own considerations caused him to look deeply in his own heart. And he came back the next day and he was emotional. And he told Covey, there is such a thing as a true north. And they had been arguing about some of the principles and ethics that would have flowed from seven habits. My point in telling the story isn't what the seven habits are. It isn't the situation. It is that when you consider deeply in your own heart, there are boundary principles. There are inviolate truths that are true and right, period. They exist. You can ignore them. You can violate them. You can stomp all over them and you can get rid of them. But it doesn't change the fact that they are there. Now, this conversation now is about, and I call that your North Star. Do you have a set of principles? Now, some religions are based on different texts. There's 10 commandments and the two great commandments, I think, in the New Testament and other documents that contain, you know, principles that are laid out as truths that are self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, which means untakeawayable, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And of course, that's a quote from the United States Declaration of Independence, which isn't the only document and isn't the only place that claims the truth of such principles. So I want to invite you to consider two things. Do you have such principles in your life, or do you live in on a squishy quicksand of situational ethics where everything depends? And I want to invite you to identify what your North Star principles are. What are they? And you might say, well, why does it matter? Well, I can't tell you why it matters to you, but I can tell you what I have observed in working with thousands of people as a coach in situations now for 16 years officially as a coach, and then a decade before that as a high-level executive leading lots of folks in different kinds of companies. So 26 years in leadership where I have had, you know, exposure and access and responsibility for those kinds of things. We live today in a world where people want to pretend that everything is relative. It depends. There's no such thing as absolute. And we see the consequences of that. I live in Canada right now, but my wife and I are both dual national. And so I'm watching the election year debacle unfold in the United States. I'm embarrassed by the complete dishonesty all over the place. People lying and acting like that's just how we do business. Prove that I am. I can say whatever I want and it's okay until you can prove that I didn't. And even then I won't back down. Like, it's just everywhere. It's in the news. It's in the media. It is in the behavior of people themselves. And I'm not going to get partisan and take sides here because I don't do that. You're free to support whatever principles you want. But my experience is that when we support lying, when we pretend that the end justifies the means, we're on a road to destruction. We're on a road to blowing up society as we know it. Because what I think is important and what you think is important, they're rarely going to, lay on top of each other perfectly. You're always going to think something a little different or a lot different than I do or than your neighbors or my neighbors. And if I behave in the pursuit of my ultimate life, like I get to do whatever I want because it's good for me, then we're headed for absolute chaos. We're headed for the idea that whoever controls the might, you know, the idea that might makes right, whoever is the strongest in a given situation, in a neighborhood, in a family, in a city, in a state, in a country, in the world, is right by virtue of the fact that they can force you to do something. And we have wars going on right now. And again, I'm not taking sides, but lying is wrong, cruelty is wrong, terrorism is wrong, torture is wrong, brutality is wrong. I don't care what it's in the name of. That is not justified. And so my question is for you to think about your ultimate life. If you live your life that's full of purpose, prosperity, and joy, and again, I'm inviting you to put your own words in there, does it allow for cruelty? Does it allow for brutality and complete, you know, mistreatment of others? Do your principles allow for that? Well, if it serves me well, and it's just a little bit, because I get what I want. You know, the end justifies the means sounds fine if it's your end and it's your getting, not your end, like you're ended, but you know, you get what you want in the end. So whatever I had to do to get there. Well, every Ponzi scheme and every theft and every, you know, leveraged buyout of a company that destroys it and puts all these people out of work, that's all based on greed. Long as I get mine, I'm okay, right? And I don't care what happens to anybody else. Well, we see a lot of that behavior. Does it create peace? Does it create unity? Does it create common welfare and good? Not on my watch, not on your watch. And what we see is this sort of unbridled situational ethics destroying discourse, destroying civil relations with people that we don't agree with. It devolves into war, into cruelty, into unkindness, into, you know, what is that word? Cancel culture. You suck because you don't think the way I do. And I'm right because I have, I don't know, something, my opinion on my side. So all of that is pointing out the obvious. None of that is going to be new to you or news. So what do we do? If you want to live a life of joy, purpose, prosperity, and joy, and I realize your words may be different, so whenever I say that, substitute yours. Do you think you're going to create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy without ethics, without boundaries, without rules, without guiding principles, without a North Star? That would be just like trying to sail across the ocean without the stars to guide you. You know, today we got GPS, but I'm talking about when we didn't, you're not going to make it. You're going to run into an iceberg. You're going to join the Titanic at the bottom, or you're going to end up starving to death because you're so far off course, you ended up floating where there was no land. Principles are key to creating your ultimate life. Principles that are rooted in bedrock. I learned this the hard way. Because when I was only chasing the brass ring, gold and everything, I abandoned principles. I made excuses. I created reasons why the end justified the means. The only place that ever led was hiding, lying, misery, pain, brokenness, guilt, skeletons in the closet, and a life that generally sucked, even if it came with a pile of cash. I got this great pile of gold over here. And the price I had to pay to get it killed me. So I'm going to invite you to do something here with me. I have a piece of a document, and I call that document my PTAC, Personal Truth and Commitment Document, and I've talked about that before. I want to give you an invitation right now, and here's the invitation. I have a book called Living with Purpose and Power, and I'm going to shamelessly plug it. Living with Purpose and Power. Go to Amazon in whatever country you're in. Put my name in, Kellen Flukiger, and look up Living with Purpose and Power. That book will give you the key to creating a guiding, a North Star for your own life. If you want one. If you don't want one and you don't care and you're happy with what you're doing, never mind. But if you have wondered, how do I create a North Star that's powerful, that means something to me personally? I'm not interested in helping you create, you know, what I think you should believe. But I know from my own experience and from clients I've worked with that not having a guiding set of principles in your life is a disaster. Now, here's some of the benefits of having that. When you know who you are, what you live with, what you put up with, what you don't, your guiding principles, decisions become really easy. Decisions become really easy. I get proposals all the time because I'm a successful coach and author and I have shows and stuff to partner with people. It takes about 3 seconds for the first cut to be made. Is there anything squishy or weird about the suggestion or conversation? Is there any deception involved? Are we making any promises that are too good to be true or that aren't real? And the answer is, I'm not interested. I don't care what else comes. But that ability to decide like that is just because I've decided I am my word. I speak only truth. I do what I say, and I am who I seem, with simplicity, transparency, and integrity. That's a sentence from one of my own documents, but that's something I've declared for myself. So when someone comes with a proposal of doing anything, if there's the least bit of shady marketing or any of that kind of stuff, I'm out. I don't need to think. I don't even need to hear the rest. But that's just because I've decided that. And here's what it does for me. I never have to worry. I never have to hide. I never have to feel bad about something I've partnered in or sold or been part of because I apply that test. And here's why. I would rather say no to 1,000 things and have one success that created a lot of cash that made me not feel good or lose sleep or feel like I was defrauding somebody. So part of creating my ultimate life is an absolute commitment to being transparent, to being honest, and to doing exactly what I say and to being who I seem to be. It's a radical change because, like I said, in the first 50 years of my life, I did stuff differently. I did everything to protect myself, right? What's in it for me was the radio station I had playing constantly. Now that station's off. I mean, sure, I'm interested in what the possibilities are in any business arrangement, but it has to go through the thing of, can I absolutely look people in the eye and believe and trust what we're doing? So that's an idea of things that can be your guiding star, and that's one benefit. It makes decisions really easy. Does it pass my personal requirements? And here's the fun part. You don't need anybody's permission to set down your boundaries. You don't need anybody's agreement. You don't need to explain anything. If someone says, oh, how could you pass up that opportunity? And you say really simply, and I can't count the number of times I've said it, doesn't fit with my business model. Doesn't fit with my business model. Sorry. And my business model includes a bunch of those squishy words. Honesty, integrity, transparency, ethics, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And if it doesn't square, it's out. And I don't have to explain anything to anybody. But the result is I sleep very well. I never have to worry about talking to someone about products or services I'm involved in because I can speak with absolute conviction and truth and never have any squishiness about it. So that's just one example of a benefit. Okay, another benefit, and this is going to take a little minute to explain, is when you have a set of principles and you live by them rigorously, your words, your conversation carries power. Now, I don't know exactly how that works, but the way I describe it is truth carries its own power. And what I mean by that is when you're talking to somebody, we all have really good BS meters. And when something feels off, you just know it, right? You have this feeling it's not right. And I don't know what kind of energy that is. But truth, when something is absolutely truth, it carries a clarity, a power that gives it the stamp of truth. And we know that. That's the thing behind, I don't know if you've heard of muscle testing, you know, where you do things like this and or your arm is out there and people push on it. David Hawkins, who wrote Power Versus Force, who is an MD and also a PhD, you know, he postulated and talks about this, the connectedness of universal truth. And that we know intuitively when things are true if we learn to connect with that. Anyway, this isn't a conversation about muscle testing and how that works, but it's based on the same principles. Truth carries its own power. So now I've got all this conversation about tying together, creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy with your own North Star. Now, North Star is nebulous. I've talked about what it is really in the sky. I've created a document for myself that I call my North Star. And this is a particular flavor. It talks about not just about my principles that I live by. I've got a much longer document that talks about those. But this North Star is an explanation of who I am in the world. Like, what are the services I provide as I walk through the world, as I create this show, as I do podcasts, as I interview people for books, as I help people write their own books. So I'm going to share some of these things with you, not because I'm trying to say that you should use them, but to give you an idea of the kinds of things that you can declare for yourself that go with creating your ultimate life. And I'll explain why each one of these works for me. And here's my invitation. I want you to write a document that contains at least your first stab at your North Star, your guiding thing that stays in the same place all the time. It's not moved around by situational ethics. So one of the statements in my North Star is, I am the ultimate catalyst for personal transformation. Now, someone might hear that and think I'm an arrogant SOB, but I don't share this document with others. I am a little bit today because we're talking about this, but I don't run around trying to impress people with the fact that I say I'm the ultimate catalyst for personal transformation. That's a declaration for me that filters everything that I do. So if I'm talking to you in this episode or in a podcast episode, or I'm having a one-on-one conversation, which I had at least two, maybe three today with brand new people, my goal is how can I have this conversation in a way that allows you, the listener or the other participant, to get benefit, to feel loved, to feel lifted, blessed, cared about. And the reason I say that is the thing that creates the most change is love, not force, not money. Love is the most powerful force for change. We respond more to that than anything else in the long run. If someone's holding a gun to your head, you know, fear might rank up there for a moment. But that's only in the moment of fear. Love is a lasting power that goes way beyond the actual moment. So a statement that I say is, well, I have chosen to create my life and my being, my work, as a catalyst for personal transformation. The reason I chose that is because I've gone through so much transformation on purpose with a lot of work. Like I described the first 50 years of my life as that, you know, had a lot of negative things in it. In 2007, I completely started life over again, say, okay, what am I going to do? I don't like where this has been, even though it provided a lot of, you know, the luxuries of life. I need to do something different. So I went through this transformation, changing from greedy, thinking of myself, wondering what, you know, what was in it for me, to just choosing to create this ultimate life founded on purpose, prosperity, and joy. And what I've discovered is that finding and declaring my purpose, which this year is reaching 250 million people, to help you, each one of you, see who you really are as a divine, capable, powerful person, and then decide to create from that place instead of a place of weakness and fear and worry and hiding and all the rest that we often live in. So that's a catalyst is a chemical that makes a reaction happen that otherwise wouldn't happen. Like you put two chemicals together, nothing happens. If you put a catalyst in, the reaction happens, or it happens a lot faster. The funny part is that the catalyst isn't used up. Isn't that funny? When the reaction's done, the catalyst is the same. That's the principle behind catalytic converters. Catalytic converters were a thing that got put in cars to create lower emissions. You know what was in catalytic converters? Platinum. You know, very, very finely divided, powdered platinum. Something about the presence of platinum caused carbon monoxide to turn into carbon dioxide. It didn't take anything out of the platinum. Platinum was just there. And because it was there, the change took place. Now, people started stealing catalytic converters because platinum is so valuable. But that's an example of a catalyst. Without the platinum, the reaction didn't take place, but the platinum wasn't involved in the reaction. So that's a catalyst, and that's one of the reasons I love this word. If you're a catalyst, that's a place where just because you are present, things happen differently. Now, here's a funny way to look at that. So two siblings are fighting. One of the parents walks in the room, doesn't say anything, and suddenly the kid's behavior changes in some way. That's the same thing. It's a catalyst. Simply by being there, it causes some different reactions. Now, one can say, well, it's easy to see why, et cetera, et cetera. But that just illustrates the idea. What do I do as a catalyst? And as I describe this, again, I'm using an example from my life, but I want you to hear and think about your document, your North Star. Who are you? Have you chosen Have you created this for yourself? So a phrase for mine says, in practical expression, I provide energy, example, encouragement, and permission to those ending addiction to mediocrity. Now, my past includes some substance abuse and addiction, but that's not what I'm talking about here. So what I've chosen as a guiding principle for me is, in every situation that I'm in, I'm going to see how can I provide positive energy? How can I provide a positive example or possibility? How can I provide encouragement and permission to those ending addiction to mediocrity? Now, I'm not saying everyone in the world or you are addicted to mediocrity. I was. And I meet a lot of people who are. And what I mean by that is they are settling, satisfied with what they've got right now. Are you settling? Are you living below your capability? I saw a Facebook post, you know, today that came out of it. There was an event this weekend in England, and a lot of people that I know went to that event. And someone that I know and is a good friend came out of the event and a big Facebook post, no more mediocrity. So something about his own experience at that event made him realize, number one, that he had been settling for mediocrity and that that was over. I am finished. I am putting my fist, my foot, my whatever, making a commitment, no more mediocrity. I'm going to take chances. I'm going to push the envelope, move boundaries forward. So he adopted a new piece of language for himself, no more mediocrity. And that became, at this moment at least, part of his guiding star. And so I want you to think about what your guiding principles are. And I asked that earlier, and I'm giving you some examples to consider. And again, what I find is when I have those, it makes my life really simple. If I say, I don't do mediocrity, then that means no matter what I do, if I'm doing the dishes, I'm going to do them well. If I'm talking to someone, I'm not going to multitask. I'm going to be completely there and all in. Otherwise, I'm not going to waste time. I'm going to be all in everything that I do. Now, that's just a choice. I'm not saying you or anyone else has to do that. But because I choose ending mediocrity, I won't stand for it, I won't be part of it, that guides and makes my life really simple. I choose nothing half-baked. In sharing this, I'm inviting you to consider what are your guiding principles that you hold on to. If you don't have them, you're going to float. You're going to float from one thing to another, and you're going to find that you settle for far less than you could have. Now, we're about creating your ultimate life here. We're about creating purpose, prosperity, which includes cash, and joy, happy all the time. If you want to find out if you have a good North Star, ask yourself this. Are you happy today? All day? How often do things happen that throw you off, where you get angry or frustrated? Or blame, rage at God or the government or the weather or your partner or your kids or customers or anything else. How often do these external events take control of your life? If you find that that's happening a lot, you're missing a North Star. You're missing some clear principles that guide your life. Now, you can argue with me. You could say, yeah, my North Star is really easy. Anything that creates me cash is good, and anything else I don't care about. I'm not talking to those kind of ideas. I'm talking to the elevated ideas that you and I were built to love. We're built to serve. I'm here to love and serve you. And I know that you feel that sometimes about others. You may not feel it all the time. You may feel, you know, frustrated, angry, limited, bottled up, held back. But 99% of the time, all those feelings are of our own creation. And if we created them, then we can get rid of them. You and I, we have the ability to create any kind of life we want. And this is back to why I'm talking about North Star today. If you don't have a set of principles or ideas or guiding thoughts that guide your life, then you wander around aimlessly. So let's talk about how to create those things. If you want the whole list of things that I use to guide my life, that book, Living with Purpose and Power, go get that. And I think it'll be really valuable for you. I really do. It carries 16 years of work of creating these kinds of documents and principles, and they have rewarded me with purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now I want to do a couple of exercises with you to get you on the way to creating a document or a set of principles that you can rely on. How important are the following ideas in your life? Integrity. How often do you do what you say, and how often do you make excuses? And don't do it if it's no longer convenient. Just a question. I'm not casting blame. Is integrity important to you? Is it important to you for others? How important is it for others in your life to do what they say they're going to do? In other words, that you can depend on them. So there's two ways to look at any of the ideas that I'm going to talk about. Integrity is the first. It's how important do you believe it is for yourself, and how important do you think it is for someone else? In other words, what kind of a judgment do you pass on someone else with or without that characteristic? Integrity is one to think about. For me, that's way up at the top. That's why one of the sentences I have in my sets of documents is, I am my word. I speak only truth. I do what I say. I am who I seem. With simplicity, transparency, and integrity, meaning what you see is what you get. What you thought you were getting from me is exactly that. No hiding, nothing behind the bush. So how important is integrity? Now we're going to switch gears completely. How important is kindness? How important is it for you to be kind to others? I don't know the answer, but I want you to just be really introspective and tell the truth. Otherwise, this exercise does nothing. How important is it for you to be kind? And the other side of that coin is, how important is it for you that others are kind to you? One of the things that will get in the way of either of us creating a North Star, a set of principles, is if we think there should be a big difference between how important something is to us and how important it is for us in others. That's the kind of the golden rule thing. Do unto others as though you were the others, right? Do unto others as you would that they would do unto you. Whether we are doing that or not is easily illustrated by answering the ideas, the questions, both ways. So we've talked about, how important is integrity to you? How important is it to you that others show integrity? In other words, keep their word. We've talked about kindness. How important is it for you to be kind? How important is it for you to have others be kind to you? Another big one for me, and I want you to add your own words to this list so that it is powerful for you. A big one for me is service. What is service? Service is an intentional going out of my way to lift and bless, to serve someone else without worrying about getting paid. That's actually never true, because we always get paid in how we feel. Our neurotransmitters, our connection to the divine, our connection to our common humanity. But service is an intentional choice to use our resources to lift and bless another, just because we can. So how important is it to you to serve? One way to measure that is just to think, maybe keep track for a week. How many times In a week or in a day, do you go out of your way to do something for someone else on purpose without worrying about who gets recognized or that you get thanked or anything? Now, the flip side of that is, how important is it to you to receive service? Now, this one's a really awkward one, because people say to me often, oh, I love helping people, but I hate asking for help. I hate the feeling of needing help and of asking for help. Well, that's a warped point of view. Service is a two-sided coin. Being willing to give time, money, help, assurance, shoulder, a listening ear, whatever, is often easier to do than it is to receive. But the coin of service isn't complete without both sides. So if when I say service, your first thought was, I don't mind doing stuff for people, but I hate it when people do stuff for me. Here's your challenge. I challenge you to allow this week, right now, between this episode and the next one, 5 people in 5 different circumstances to do something for you. Allow it. Allow it graciously and with absolute gratitude. Thank you for doing that, and mean it. No awkwardness, no clumsiness. And if you find yourself unable to do that, then that's a big sign. And the sign is, the service that you pretend to give is incomplete, because service includes receiving and giving. Our ability to allow others to do something for us and then to thank them graciously is an important building of our own character, because no man is an island. No woman stands alone. There's an old song. No man is an island, and of course, woman too. No one stands alone. That's a true principle. We are connected as a human family. And this idea of integrity, of service, of kindness, that's really important. And it goes a long way to helping us create this life that we're talking about, of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now, the last one I'm going to talk about for a minute is one that you hear all the time, but I want to explore it more deeply, and that is love. How important is it for you to love someone, even people you don't know? Or would you just rather be indifferent and they go about doing whatever and I don't really care? And then you work on developing and showing some feelings to those around you. Well, that's normal and pretty natural. I'm going to share with you something that I've discovered, and that is, when I go out of my way to love someone, there's a huge change that takes place in me and them. So first, let's define love for just a minute. I don't want to wax poetic or get weird. Love is a verb. It is a choice to use my resources, my spiritual, my physical, my emotional, or my mental resources. Spiritual, physical, emotional, or mental resources. I choose to use what I have in those areas to lift and bless someone, then I love them. I have chosen freely and willingly and joyfully to give spiritual, physical, which includes money or time or whatever, emotional, mental resources to someone. And that defines love in a family, it defines siblings, it defines friends, and they're all at different levels. And the more you serve someone, the more you use your spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental resources to bless someone, the more you love them. And, you know, parents love their kids, and the amount of spiritual, physical, emotional, mental resources that are used in serving are astronomical. So the question is to think about this. How important is it for you to love others on purpose with no thought of reward? And how important is it for you to receive, to be open to receiving love? Now, those are just 4. But for me, those are critical things in my North Star. I intentionally am absolutely in absolute integrity all the time. Kindness, I catch myself all the time. Service, love, Why does it matter? Because remember, we're trying to create the ultimate life. When I live like that, I feel purpose, prosperity, and joy. I love how that feels. And I would suggest, I mean, we've spent plenty of episodes talking about how to make money and create business. This is about creating spiritual currency. It's about creating emotional bank accounts. It's about just exponentially driving your enjoyment of life, your love, and how much you love to get up and be part of each day. Here's what I notice. The more I live into my North Star, the more that I create and live into the commitments that I have, the happier I am all the time, every day, even when things go south, even when stuff doesn't go like I want. You're a divine being. You have a right to be happy, but you have to create it. Nobody's going to do it for you. There's no cavalry. There's nobody that's going to create your ultimate life for you. But if you're willing to do the work, purpose, prosperity, and joy are yours for the taking. You have everything you need to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.